episode 57 of UFO Encounters. This week I'm reading from Mark Christopher Lee's book, The King of UFOs, Royal UFO Secrets Revealed. When I have guests on my podcast, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. And when reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast. And here, I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I've put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record the extract from the book, and the author kindly said yes. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe. So I'm going to start by reading from a section entitled Experiences and Sightings, and this is from Chapter 3. And this is what Mark has written. Lord Mountbatten, a distinguished naval officer and member of the British royal family, had a keen interest in UFO phenomena that spanned several decades. His encounters and investigative experiences have left an indelible mark on the field of ufology. The journey began much earlier than many realise, influenced by the early fascinations and technological curiosity of the post-war era. Mountbatten's dedication to understanding these mysterious occurrences lends a level of legitimacy and intrigue to the study of unidentified flying objects. In the late 1950s, Mountbatten's attention turned to UFO sightings reported by military personnel and civilians alike. One of the most compelling instances occurred in 1955 at his own Broadlands estate in Hampshire. A worker reported seeing a strange object descending from the sky, eventually landing and floating a few feet above the ground. This sight was accompanied by a being dressed in silvery overalls who made no attempt at communication, but left a lasting impression on the observer. Mountbatten took this testimony seriously, documenting it meticulously. Mountbatten was not merely a passive observer in these investigations. He actively collected accounts, analysed patterns, and cross-referenced events. His naval background provided him with a unique perspective, particularly regarding aerial phenomena and the capabilities of contemporary technology. He often speculated on the physics that might allow for such crafts to operate, contributing his thoughts to both public and secretive compilations on UFO activity. The 1960s saw an increase in documented sightings, further piquing Mountbatten's interest. He was known to consult with other high-ranking officials and members of the scientific community. During one notable discussion, he remarked on the possibility of these crafts being advanced terrestrial technology, perhaps even secretive developments from other nations. Such hypotheses were wildly speculative, but reflect the era's broader uncertainties and geopolitical tensions. One of Mountbatten's most significant sightings occurred during a naval exercise in the North Sea. Crew members on his ship reported fast-moving, luminous objects performing manoeuvres that defied the known laws of aerodynamics. These objects engaged in what appeared to be intelligent behaviour, responding to countermeasures in ways that suggested a strategic awareness. Mountbatten's logs from these events detailed every unexplained aspect, considering both natural and artificial explanations. Mountbatten's belief in the possibility of extraterrestrial visitation wasn't without its critics. Members of the establishment were often sceptical, seeing his fascination as a deviation from his otherwise rigorous naval career. Nevertheless, his status and methodical approach provided a defence against outright dismissal. His investigations brought a semblance of credibility to an otherwise fringe topic, encouraging a more thorough examination by mainstream entities. In 1979, just months before his tragic assassination, Mountbatten was still deeply engrossed in UFO research. He was reportedly in correspondence with Dr. J. Allen Hynek, the American astronomer known for his work on Project Blue Book, an official Air Force study on UFOs. Their communications hinted at collaborative efforts to understand sightings reports on both sides of the Atlantic. As with many of his correspondences, these remained out of the public eye for years, buried in archives and revealed only through diligent research. While many of the sightings and experiences Mountbatten investigated remain shrouded in mystery, a few commonalities emerge. The most frequent characteristics involved advanced flight capabilities, lack of discernible propulsion, and often some form of interaction or observation of human activities. The consistency of these reports, despite the variety of geographical and situational contexts, complexifies the narrative but also lends it a peculiar consistency. The broader UFO community often cites Mountbatten's experiences as pivotal in legitimizing the study of unexplained aerial phenomena. His military background, coupled with his detailed documentation, provides a substantive foundation for scientific inquiry. While definitive conclusions are few and far between, the persistence of these investigations highlights a broader, often overlooked, avenue of royal engagement with the unknown. Mountbatten's legacy in UFO investigation is enduring. The files he left behind continue to be a source of fascination and serious study. They illuminate a period when belief in the possibility of extraterrestrial life was transitioning from science fiction to a semi-serious subject of scholarly and governmental inquiry. His willingness to engage with such a contentious topic reflects a broader openness to extreme possibilities, a trait sometimes underestimated in the historical portrayal of the British aristocracy. Through his meticulous records and unyielding curiosity, Lord Mountbatten demonstrated that even the most esteemed and rational minds could entertain the extraordinary. His experiences and sightings not only broaden our understanding of the UFO phenomenon, but also challenge us to question the limits of our knowledge about reality itself. As with many pioneers in any field, the true extent of his contributions may only be fully appreciated by future generations who continue the quest for truth in the skies above. So now I'm going to move forward to chapter 4 and just read this section, which is titled Sir Peter Horsley's Mysterious Encounter. In the sombre halls of Buckingham Palace, the air thickened with intrigue when Sir Peter Horsley, a distinguished air marshal, recounted an uncanny meeting with a man named Janus, whose enigmatic nature defied earthly comprehension. Horsley described Janus as possessing an intellect so profound and an aura so unsettling that it shattered the boundaries of conventional understanding. Suspicion brewed whether Janus was a harbinger of otherworldly wisdom or a cryptic Russian spy, shrouding the encounter in layers of impenetrable mystery. Drifting between the realms of espionage and extraterrestrial speculation, Horsley's rendezvous stood as a perplexing testament to the mingling worlds of the arcane and the real, merging royal curiosity with cosmic possibilities. The meeting with Janus, as Sir Peter Horsley recounted the events of that fateful evening in 1954, one could sense a mixture of awe and bewilderment in his narrative. He had been at a meeting place in London's upscale Knightsbridge area, directed there by Air Marshal Sir Arthur Barrett. Horsley approached the unassuming flat, his mind preoccupied with official matters. Yet little did he know that his entire understanding of reality was about to be shaken to its core. Walking into the flat, Horsley was greeted by General Martin, an Air Force officer, who introduced him to Janus, a tall and impeccably dressed man with a serene demeanour. The name Janus itself evoked an image of the Roman god of beginnings and transitions, whose two-faced visage symbolised duality. This choice of pseudonym was fitting, as Janus seemed to possess knowledge that straddled the line between the known and the unknown. As the conversation unfolded, Janus's grasp of advanced scientific concepts left Horsley astounded. They discussed the nature of time, dimensions beyond the familiar three, and the potential of human consciousness. Janus spoke with an air of authority but maintained a tone that was, paradoxically, both commanding and gentle. His assertions were not easily dismissed as the ravings of a madman. They carried a gravity that demanded belief or, at the very least, serious consideration. Horsley's mind raced as Janus elaborated on technological advancements far beyond what humanity had achieved at that point. He claimed to have access to technologies that could revolutionise human society. Clean energy sources, advanced propulsion systems, and even methods to manipulate the fabric of space-time itself. So this week I was reading from Mark Christopher Lee's book, The King of UFOs, Royal UFO Secrets Revealed. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. And don't forget, there is also a documentary of the same name. A great way to support this podcast is to sign up on Patreon. On the Alien UFO Patreon, when you sign up for $6 a month, you get an extended episode every week. And for $3 a month, you get an extended episode every month. And if you want to give the extended episodes a try, there is now a 7-day free trial. Just go to patreon.com/alienufopodcast. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.